You're listening to Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hi, I'm Steve Chiotakis.
Come over here. Perfect.
Just up the 101 in Santa Barbara, hungry locals are sitting outside in the fresh air, snacking on appetizers and sipping wine at the Chase restaurant.
For 2 months, I've been holding down the fort, you know, doing takeout and to-goes, and all of a sudden now, here we are, and we're outside on the patio on beautiful State Street, and people are just roaming up and down the street, and it's a game changer. I can't explain it. It's like a phenomenon.
Warren Butler is the general manager of The Chase, and this week he's celebrating. That phenomenon he's talking about? It's the new State Street. The city of Santa Barbara has closed down its main drag to cars. People can stroll the Palm Line thoroughfare while keeping their distance, and restaurant owners are allowed to open their dining rooms in addition to having plenty of room to expand al fresco dining options. While we're still learning a lot about the coronavirus, it's become clear that the risk of infection is considerably reduced when you're outside compared to a confined space. That makes dining inside a restaurant kind of risky. But outside, as the weather starts to warm and the evenings get longer, well, why not? KCRW's Matt Gillum and Benjamin Gottlieb have been watching the reopening of restaurants all across Southern California, and they're with me right now. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Matt, you're based in Santa Barbara, not too far away, by the way, from State Street. When did the county start opening its restaurants?
Well, word spread around town last Thursday that Santa Barbara County got the go-ahead from the state to reopen on Friday, so that meant limited seating indoors. We are talking like 25 to 30% of capacity, and outdoor socially distanced dining, those were coming back online. So basically, restaurants had a day to deep clean, stock up, and get ready to welcome back guests, and by Friday evening, restaurants along State Street offering that sort of street-side outdoor dining, tables were full. I should clarify that the city did enact a new mask rule requiring facial coverings while conducting business in public, so people waiting for the tables outside or even going into the restaurant, they have masks on. The policy seems to be once you are seated, then the mask can come off.
Once you are seated, of course, it's hard to eat with a mask on, I'm sure. State Street, by the way, Matt, is the main street, right? It's the main drag of downtown Santa Barbara. The city has completely closed it off to cars.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge change. For 8 blocks or so, there are barricades and big potted palm trees at every intersection. Up at the very top of State Street, by the Arlington Theater, where the closure starts, there's a bus parked across all lanes of the street.
What's it like being there right now? I mean, what are restaurants saying about all this?
Honestly, it's really delightful. People are out walking the street. There's plenty of room to keep your distance. Cyclists are riding up and down the roadway, and the sidewalks are filled with tables. I mean, eventually they may even spill out onto the blacktop. As you go up and down State Street, you hear laughing, you hear glasses clinking. I mean, that sense of fear that hung in the air for so long, it seems to have dissipated. Santa Barbara often likes to bill itself as the American Riviera, and this really does add some European flair. And as for the restaurants, well, they're loving it. With indoor capacity limited, eating outside is offering a way for the restaurants to serve more diners with the added safety of the open air.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
When I went for a walk down State Street, I met Warren Butler, who we heard from earlier. He's the manager of a local institution called The Chase. I mean, think cozy with classic Italian dishes and a soundtrack by the Rat Pack. He is a fan of the new State Street.
With the brief period of time that it's been open, and I know it was Memorial Day weekend and so on and so forth, the increase in business, you know, double the business of what we did last year. If you're up 100%, there's nothing besides something like this that can make that happen.
You also have to factor in the pent-up demand of people just wanting to get out and finally having the option over the holiday weekend. But business being up 100% from 2019, that is huge. And with Santa Barbara finally taking action to close State Street to cars, Butler thinks this could be the thing to jumpstart the city's main business district.
I'm talking to my friends up and down the street, and I'm saying, hey, you're in a good position. If you have a storefront, you know, especially the restaurant business, and you're allowed to, you know, come out onto the sidewalk. Before, there were other options. People were headed down to the Funk Zone. They were headed down to the waterfront. But now this is going to make downtown State Street the place to be.
Wow. Okay. That sounds lovely, especially after the last 8 to 10 weeks that most of us have been going through. Benjamin, I'll bring you in because I have to ask, when can we have those nice things like they're doing in Santa Barbara here in LA County.
I mean, what Matt just described, wow. And there is certainly some interest in LA County. Cities are already looking into it. Pasadena, for example, is studying it. So is Santa Monica. Down south in San Pedro, there's also a big push there, and also in Long Beach. But the way that the state of California's safer at home orders read, these decisions are the dominion of local health departments. So in LA, that means the county public health department needs to sign off on anything before anything like what we're seeing in Santa Barbara's State Street can happen. Except, Steve, in a place like Long Beach. And the reason is because the city has its own health departments. It's one of only two cities that does in LA County, which also includes Pasadena. And from what I can tell, Long Beach has gone the furthest so far with this idea. I went to downtown Long Beach recently to check out what's happening.
All right, downtown Long Beach, Benjamin. Where did you go and what did you see?
So I went to Pine Avenue, just north of the metro station there, and this is one section where Long Beach is considering shutting the street off to all vehicle traffic. The businesses here, Steve, overwhelmingly they're restaurants, but right now, nearly every one of them is closed completely. It's an absolute ghost town. The only restaurant that I really saw up and running this week on Pine when I was down there was George's Greek Cafe. Tori Yarmoluk was putting some to-go orders together. She works as the manager at George's.
We usually have about 35 employees. Currently, we're probably working with about 6 to 8.
That's rough, and there's nothing you guys can do about that, really.
No, all we can do is increase sales, focus on our delivery, because then those are more shifts that we can bring in to have people work for us.
And the reason, Steve, is unlike Santa Barbara, you can't eat at restaurants in LA County right now. But under this plan in Long Beach, Yarmoluk would be able to reopen for outdoor dining, and that could be a total game changer. It's not just Pine, too. I mean, there are several spots in Long Beach that have been identified for this so-called Open Streets Initiative. And that can mean everything from reducing lanes on streets, setting up tables, and now empty parking lots. Up the street from George's, I met Colin Metzenmacher. He manages Water's Edge Winery of Long Beach. Its location downtown has a tasting room. There's also a bistro. And he said he's waiting patiently for next month when the city of Long Beach plans to let businesses like his begin serving food and drinks outdoors.
I had to lay my whole staff off, unfortunately, due to the pandemic. And so my girlfriend and I actually ran this place for the last 60 plus days, just labeling and selling wine and pushing charcuterie boxes and doing everything we could just to keep some drops in the bucket.
Are you guys planning to have people out in the street?
We will do whatever it takes. If restaurants around here want to sell their food and we can sell our wine, that's what we're all about. You know, being out on the street and all that, that's kind of a fun thing for people to be able to experience. So we are trying our best to work with the regulations that they're setting in front of us.
So shutting down streets and wine and cheese plates on a promenade. I mean, Benjamin, is this the future of dining out in places like downtown Long Beach and other places?
Near term, yeah, but look, it's hard to predict how much staying power a policy like serving dinner on a public street in a place like Long Beach will have. However, if you ask the mayor of Long Beach, Robert Garcia, he says he hopes it does.
I'm excited about the opportunity to see how it works because I think that they're really, Long Beach already has been ahead of the game as it relates to open streets and as it relates to kind of bike boulevards and kind of pedestrian access. And so I think a lot of these projects hopefully will become permanent after. I think there's an opportunity for some of that.
Mayor Garcia also told me we could see the first slate of restaurants, about 30 or so, set to open in this way in Long Beach in about 2 weeks if you want to go check it out.
I'm sure he would love a lot of people to come check those restaurants out to get some tax revenue back into the city. Matt, Santa Barbara, what about there? It sounds so nice. State Street blocked off in the middle of town. Are they going to keep the downtown promenade indefinitely?
Well, it's going to stay that way at least as long as California's got a state of emergency because of the coronavirus. But, I mean, I think there's some wiggle room here. It might last longer. Here's Santa Barbara's Mayor Kathy Murillo.
Closing State Street to car traffic. People have talked about that for a long time. For now, it's experimental. For now, it's temporary. We're just giving it a try. But there's a lot of people who want to see that become a permanent pedestrian promenade. We'll have to see how it works out.
All right, we're going to be watching to see how this experiment goes in the coming days and weeks and months as well in both Santa Barbara and all over greater LA. I want to thank you both, KCRW's Matt Gillum in Santa Barbara and Benjamin Gottlieb reporting from Long Beach as well. Thanks, guys.
Anytime.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, members of the LA County Board of Supervisors submitted what's called a variance application to the state just yesterday, pushing for more openings, including dine-in restaurants, and doing that soon, like within days. If the plan is approved by the governor, barbershops and hair salons and restaurants could open up, abiding by, of course, strict social distancing guidelines and safety measures. LA County Board Supervisor Janice Hahn is one of the members behind that variance, and she's with us right now. Welcome, Supervisor.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be with you.
Let's start with the basics. What exactly is a variance application?
A variance is the mechanism that the state of California has put in place to allow the governor to look at the medical data and criteria to allow counties to move quicker through one of the stages that we're in. And while that sounds very confusing, it's the mechanism that we have. And so we on the County Board of Supervisors decided to ask the governor, sort of like petitioning the governor, to let us open more things sooner than later. Initially, we had parts of LA County, like the Antelope Valley and the South Bay and even Catalina Island, that wanted the governor to allow them to move quicker into the next phase while leaving the rest of LA County behind. And we thought a better path forward would be if the entire county were granted this variance so that all 88 cities could make the decision on their own whether or not they too wanted to begin doing things like having restaurants open for in dining service, having barber shops and hair salons open. So that's what we did. We're expecting to hear back from the governor, I think, as soon as today, whether or not he agrees.
There are four stages in Newsom's plans to reopen the state. What stage are we in currently?
So I believe we're in 2B.
2B. Oh, there's a subtext here.
Yes. There's subtext.
I understand. It's been reported anyway. There may be some disagreements between the supervisors about whether it's too soon to ask for this variance. Can you explain a little bit about that? Are some people still a little nervous about opening up too soon?
Well, you know, I think all of us are concerned about if the decisions we're making will have a, you know, bad outcome in terms of increased positive cases of coronavirus. But to be honest with you, it was a 5-0 vote to ask for the variance. So I believe we will leave it up to the governor to look at our criteria to see whether or not it's safe. But we've been very cautious so far and have really reminded people that you're safer at home. You really shouldn't be going out except for essential services. So we've tried to do this in a way that balances public safety with reopening our economy. But there is a point where we were hearing loud and clear from some of our businesses that the longer they remained locked down, the greater the chances were that they just weren't going to recover, which is why I think that lifeline that the governor threw to the small businesses on Monday really was going to help some of them who were frankly drowning.
Totally understood. I mean, obviously, retail and all these other businesses, they've got to survive. And the county needs to survive, obviously. And people after, what, 8-10 weeks of this are probably, you know, really getting tired of staying. And it's totally understood, right? But then I see that LA County is still the hotspot of California, became the hotspot and is now, you know, we still see a very steady stream of new cases, the deaths that are happening every day. Hospitalizations are down a little bit, which is good news. But I mean, when you see all the data, how do you jibe that with the fact that we need to reopen? I know you say you want to be cautious about it, but I mean, this is still a time for prudence, isn't it?
Well, it is, which is why, you know, we're really imploring the public to use these safety protocols, which we know work. The two biggest things, according to the medical experts, that really work to slow the spread of this virus are wearing a face covering anytime you're in public and physically distancing from the next person who is closest to you. I think the biggest criteria that our medical experts will be telling us in LA County is, yes, we're still seeing positive virus cases, but our hospitals have not been overwhelmed yet.
I want you to help me because, you know, when it comes to governmental rigmarole, as I like to call it, I still read it a second grade level. So work with me through the variants. Like, how would this work countywide? You mentioned that some areas like Catalina, we talked about it last week on this show, wanted to, you know, go straight to the governor and say, hey, look, we have very few cases on our island. Or the Antelope Valley, again, you know, not as many cases as the rest of the county. Mm-hmm. How would the variances work?
So, again, we had many regions in LA County who just didn't want to be lumped together with the rest of us because, as you just said, they felt like their cases, their case level, their positivity, you know, did not match up with the rest of LA County. But we felt as a board of supervisors that the better pathway forward were to be if the LA County in total asked the governor for a variant. So that would include all 88 cities. Now, if the governor denies our variants and says, I just don't see the data that allows the entire county to move forward, then we could go back and see whether or not different regions might have a better chance. The one thing that the state of California has kept at the forefront of all of this is the governor decides what phase we're moving into. The governor decides what can and can't reopen. But it is still left up to all the 58 counties in California and all the cities in California to decide whether they want to go that fast. Now, we can't move ahead of the governor. You can't reopen something that he has not said you could reopen, but you can be more restrictive. So if there are certain counties or cities within a county that are just uncomfortable, you know, opening their restaurants, opening their hair salons, they don't have to. They can retain that level of control. The other thing that LA County has done so far is we've put our own safety protocol, sometimes more restrictive than what the governor is allowing. So if the governor allows us this variant so that restaurants for in-service dining can happen this weekend, we are the ones that may say, you know, okay, but we're only going to allow you to have, you know, 30% capacity. We're going to make sure that all of your wait staff is wearing, you know, shields. I don't know. Those are the guidelines that the county is writing up as we speak. Again, I feel like this whole thing is threading the needle, balancing the needs of the public versus the needs of, you know, the restaurants. So we got to figure this out. And I think the best thing is to listen to the various industries on how they want LA County, our health department, to work with them as they think about reopening.
LA County Supervisor Janice Hahn, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
All right, you've heard from different parts of Southern California and what the opening or soon-to-open experience is. Now to the most important question in all of this. Will you actually go out to eat? Are you comfortable doing that? And what does that mean for the hospitality industry? Mona Holmes writes for Eater LA. She's our regular contributor here at Greater LA, and she's with us right now on the line. Hey, Mona.
Hi, Steve.
I want to start with you. Are you ready? Are you comfy going out to eat just yet?
I'm not, actually. I am approaching 50 and I have a thyroid condition that my doctor told me to be mindful of. So I am not. But that doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying Los Angeles restaurants. I get takeout a lot, or we'll even go and do curbside pickup.
You know, we did a very unscientific poll, Mona, where we asked social media, if you're ready to go out to eat, if you're ready to dine in at restaurants when those restaurants eventually reopen. And again, you heard Supervisor Hahn saying that perhaps it could be in the matter of the next few days. At last count, 73% said they would not feel comfortable. So you're not alone in this boat. Do you think this effort is for naught?
I don't. I think that the bigger concern is whether or not customers or workers, food service workers, can stay safe in the midst of all of this. And that should be the focus for sure. Restaurants are some of the cleanest areas by even pre-COVID times for people to go and experience. They're constantly cleaning their stations. And even now, I've been in two restaurants where I was able to look at how clean everything was and the continuous process. So that's one thing. But I do believe that so many people are so ready to be out from under the lockdown, out from under the stay-at-home order, and ready to be out and celebrate being alive, ready to celebrate being able to go out to eat.
So I will ask the question, Mona, how's it going to be different going forward?
Here's what dining in Los Angeles could look like. We have the best weather year-round. We might as well utilize it. We might as well utilize parking lots and sidewalks and a larger patio areas where people can keep a good social distance from one another while having a meal. It's very likely, we've been seeing this in South Korea and in China, for to have temperature checks at the front door and for staff, and not just once. Staff will likely have multiple temperature checks throughout the shift to make sure that other staff are not infected. And I even spoke with someone who suggested that a new staff member might become the norm, a nurse or a physician's assistant, or someone who has a medical background that would serve as a medical manager to assess a customer's well-being. And if they're not deemed as healthy or in infection mode, then they'll be turned away.
All right. So you think about all these changes, Mona, and, you know, adding employees, a physician's assistant, or, you know, the construction that takes place, or spacing out tables, or even just being at a limited capacity. Are the prices going to go up to make up for that?
They'll have to. It's impossible for restaurants not to, and make sure that they can cover the new costs that are associated with operating during COVID. Owners will have to buy protective gear, partitions, whether they're glass or plastic, all the new things that they've never had to buy before are now a new cost for businesses that already operate at thin margins.
You know, how will bars and lounges adjust to this? How are they going to get through this?
They've been so hard hit, Steve. None of them have been able to open or operate since closing in mid-March. But there is a new authorization from ABC, or the Bureau of Alcoholic Beverage Control, that could change things significantly. Just a few weeks back, ABC announced a new authorization called a Temporary Catering Authorization, or TCA. And what that does is lets bars, restaurants, any business like this, and clubs serve customers on adjacent sidewalks and parking lots and streets, but only if food is served there. So these businesses will be able to partner with a pop-up or a food provider to utilize this temporary authorization, which means that once COVID is done, they won't be bringing it back. But the way that I'm visualizing it is kind of cool. I'm kind of sensing it would be a big giant block party with a lot of space between people, where bars, food trucks, clubs all bring people together just to hang out in big open spaces.
I want to say that sounds fun, but what about other positive things that have come out of this time, Mona, where restaurants have really had to reassess how they do business, or even some of them are gone for good, right?
We've been talking about that with my colleagues, with folks from other publications for weeks now about that. But there's a vocal group that believes that things must burn to the ground so that the restaurant industry can rebuild and address the problems associated within this industry. Things that have been talked about, but no movement around them. The low pay, the lack of health care, the exploitation of undocumented workers, Food production, the front of the house making significantly more than the ones in the back, like prep cooks and staff. There's a lot of things that are overlooked and have been for too long. And there's a lot of movement and a lot of discussions around changing, making substantial change about the way we consume food in a way where less people are exploited around it.
Mona Holmes writes for Eater LA, our regular contributor here on Greater LA. Mona, as always, great talking to you.
You too, Steve.
That's all the time we have for today. Next week, a lot of folks at the church, synagogue, and mosque will be back in those buildings this weekend, perhaps, an update on places of worship in a time of pandemic. And competing narratives that involve the history of El Monte, once white and not open to people of color. Today, the San Gabriel city is mostly Latino. We'd like to hear from you at kcrw.com/greaterLA. What are your thoughts during this pandemic? What do you think you should keep as you move forward into perhaps a more normal world? Online, kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Rebecca Mooney, Sonia Geis, Matt Gillum, Amy Todd, Desmond Taylor, Mario Diaz, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Vicky Cox, and Christian Bordall made this show happen today. Thank you for your support of this public radio station. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.